Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Mark Higgins. Again, welcome. Tonight, Tuesday, November 16th, 2021, we will be continuing our discussion and continue to focus on the surge of brutality and violence on women in our community, the country, as well as throughout the world landscape. Once again, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. We will be focusing on that issue as well as the looming elections next year for congressional and senatorial seats in our districts, and I mean our districts, us, the people, in districts around the country. We will be focusing a little bit on that because a year from now, we will have, as a collective, have elected new representatives to replace some of the scumbags and undeserving people, and I use that term in the weakest sense, that are supposedly serving the people and they're not doing shit, but they're the most self-serving people that I can think of. So again, we're going to focus on the looming 2022 election as well as another topic that I want to touch on that I'm rather piggybacking on Brother Melvin's show last night that was pretty, in my opinion, very informative, and it showed me the perspective of our brothers at large, coming from various demographics, with the panel that was on Brother Melvin's show last night. And if you missed it, you really missed something special. I highly recommend that you search in the Panther Party Radio Network archives and listen to that show from last night. I assure you, you will be highly informed and provoked to look within, which was the main topic in last night's show. So in light of that, I'm going to somewhat piggyback on that. With information regarding what's now cliche, what's now cliche as the culture war. And the reason why I'm using that term, that was really ushered in by the one and only, my friend, my dog, my homie, Chuck D, one of the most revolutionary motherfuckers you ever want to meet. Chuck D ushered in that state in the hip hop world, and now it's being used, you know, finding in the Urban Dictionary and whatnot, and it's being used in mainstream media. So the reason why I'm using that word culture, the words culture war, is to bring to light, is to essentially bring to light and to also piggyback on what was discussed last night about the black man being self-aware and things that needs to be fixed with the men, with the brothers in our community. So if you allow me to piggyback on that, I'd appreciate. And with that said, again, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. If you want to be a member of the party, or if you just want to call in and give some perspective, ask questions, offer something tangible, the number to reach us is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. If you want to speak, or if you just want to listen to the show, don't do anything but call that number. However, if you would like to speak, understand that we practice the Roberts Rule of Order in the Empowerment Zone, which simply means when you're done with your question, comment, perspective, diatribe, just be respectful to the other guest and yield your time. And I will close your mic. So please understand that and be respectful and be kind. Those are the only rules in the empowerment zone, basically. So you can say whatever you want. Just be kind and respectful. That's all we ask. Again, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. Again, we're discussing the surge of brutality and violence on women in our community as well as throughout the country. And I mean our community throughout the country and on the world landscape. And again, it breaks my heart to have another fresh example of brutality against our women against women, but particularly women in our community. Breaks my heart with fresh information. I don't know if you all are aware of the 72-year-old black woman that was found hanging in Annapolis, Maryland. The news just came out over the weekend. However, she was discovered right across the street from a junior high in Annapolis, Maryland. That's not far from the naval station that I'm familiar with. It's not far from where my daughter is stationed. Black woman hanging from a tree. It's despicable. Unconscionable in 2021. But here we have it. The stark reality of this real stanky world in America, allegedly the greatest civilization to ever exist. That's debatable. What's not debatable is the surge of brutality and utter violence on women since the onset of the pandemic. And the statistics are alarming as fuck. You can't deny. Later, I'm going to give you more examples, but that's just one fresh example. And what I mean as fresh is as it was reported this past weekend, of this poor woman's demise. I will give more examples, another fresh example, unfortunately, that happened right here in my beloved Chicago. Again, coming from the South Side, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind all. Again, all are welcome to join us in this discussion. And again, if you would like to gain membership, we can be reached at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. And the number to reach us tonight is 914-205-5538. I've got quite a few questions, and I need help. I need answers simply because this is this particular issue, I think, has been so overlooked. And yet, within the community, and I mean us, brothers, within the community, it's so passé. And yet, this brutality is happening to our daughters, our sisters, our aunties, our mothers and grandmothers. You cannot minimize the alarming rate that black women are dying since the onset of the pandemic. And I'm using that as a benchmark. I'm using the pandemic as a benchmark because in my research and in my preparation for this show, I wasn't originally going to use the pandemic as a benchmark for the violence against women, because I was going to use other examples, and I was basically going to use the Me Too movement as the benchmark. But I decided to use the pandemic, since the statistics and the media propaganda, the media hype machine is so on 10, and we're seeing examples every day of women of color being missing and or brutalized. So I'm using the pandemic as the benchmark. I was also considering using Sandra Bland, but it seems that I just didn't want to disrespect her or use her as a crutch to bring awareness. I wanted to use something else, because it seems that, with the short-term memory that we all are guilty of, who remembers Sandra Bland? Who remembers Sister Sandra? I know I certainly do. But again, that's my reasoning. So please bear with me, if you will. I see you holding, brother man, and I got you, man. I'm gonna open up your mic. I just want to get this out. And the other thing I wanted to touch on, and again, I remember we're using the term culture war tonight, and it's all predicated on what us brothers need to do, because that was the premise of last night's show. And again, I want to somewhat piggyback on that. Another thing that I wanted to touch on and really emphasize is the fact that what we are not aware of as black men is that our women are such a hard target. I'm military minded. I know what hard target means. And this all coincides with the propaganda machine and the misogyny, the allowed, the traditions, the practices. If you were listening, and if you've been following the show, you know that in the last installment of the Empowerment Zone, we discussed the practices and traditions in the workplace and the dangers for women in the workplace. And so I need you to bear with me and not lose focus on what the topic is tonight and how all of this will mesh together by the end of the 2 hours that we have here. And I want to emphasize how women are the hard target. Simply put, women, and we know this, and we've discussed this on this broadcast many occasions, on all the shows on this broadcast, we've discussed how the women's movement and the LGBTQ movement has used our struggle as a doormat or springboard, if you will, to further their cause. And then what's fucked about that, was even more fucked up about that, is how we're demonized. Our women, black women, are demonized in certain sectors for assimilating to all those notions. And what was discussed last night with the lesbianism and the homosexuality within our community, and the reasons why, you know, black men not being there, and the absence of the escalating fathers, and so all of this is going to mesh together, and I don't want to, I really want to focus on that. Again, I'm piggybacking off of last night's show with and still trying to continue to focus on the surge of brutality and how all this is messed together in the time that we're living in. And I'm going to keep this rolling. Thank you for hanging in there, brother. I'm going to open up your mic in a second because I know you got something that you want to talk about. That's really impactful. The other thing that we want to touch on in this, let's say the second hour of the show, if allowed, I want to talk about Killer Kyle and that shit show up in Wisconsin. And we also want to talk about the Ahmaud Arbery trial in Georgia. And I really want to discuss the defense attorney as well as the judge in that case, because in the contrast in the outcomes of both of those trials. And what I mean by contrast is the obvious, these motherfuckers in Georgia ain't going to walk. I mean, it's possible. But I doubt it. Highly doubtful with the judge. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Another thing that I wanted to touch on regarding these two trials, and what I mean by contrast is how these motherfuckers in Georgia ain't going to walk. There's a possibility that Kyle Rittenhouse, Killer Kyle, won't do as much time. He won't get no max sentence. I'm seeing this already, but we'll further discuss that. Hopefully, you join us again. Please call us at 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. When I mentioned the culture war, I'm speaking of a litany of things that are in the mix with this culture war that we're embedded in. War for your mind, you know, war for your soul. It's just it's deeper than you can imagine. And if you've been following this show, you already know. One of the things that I'm curious about, and if you have any information regarding this particular question, please call us at 914-205-5538, because in my resources, I'm trying to get some discovery, if you will. And the question is, how many civil suits will come from this? Because we're in the state, this is stage one, criminal trial. Civil suits are to come in the future. My question is, state of Illinois, where this kid came from, he drove from Itasca, Illinois, which is the northern Chicago suburbs, drove from Itasca, Illinois, to Kenosha, Wisconsin, probably about a half-hour drive, seriously. Well, maybe an hour. And I'm wondering, I guess the question is the state attorney general going to pursue charges against the parents that enabled this killer, that provided arms to this killer, the parents that drove him there, regardless of the video that we've all seen, regardless of the overall shit show. The fact is, this 17-year-old minor had a legal firearm, but was in possession, but because he was a minor and in possession of it, made him so illegal. And so his right to defend himself, as the defense is saying, we'll get further into this. That shit, none of that shit flies. And then the crocodile tears in court, and the victim blaming and all that shit. We'll get into that. But I just have a question. If anyone can answer, should there and will there be any pursuit of charges against the parents for enabling this motherfucker to go up there and take two lives, which is a fact. Fuck all the other stuff, all this fringe shit. The fact is, this young man took two lives. Had he not been there, those two people would still be alive today. 914-205-5538. Call in. Press 1 if you want to speak. Or don't press 1 if you just want to listen to the show. And remember that we practice the Robert's Rule of Order in the Empowerment Zone. My man, welcome to the show. What's good, Playboy? How you feel? Peace.
Thanks, brother. What's going on with you?
And you got the best hand, brother.
I didn't hear.
I said you got the best hand. I got questions, though.
I actually kind of got a lot of subjects that you want to touch on. I'm going to touch on what I can because I'm on short time a little bit, but I got a question. What does Kyle Rittenhouse and the town he lives in the state of Illinois and Kenosha, Wisconsin have in common?
Have their sister cities? You know how they do that shit?
No. What they have in common is they are in a part of the country that during the last election cycle predominantly went for Donald Trump.
Trump, yeah.
And decided to buy into a lot of the rhetoric. Even if they didn't like Donald Trump, they still bought the rhetoric. You don't have to like Donald Trump to like the hotel room. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Because my issue with this whole thing is the crossing of the state line and his reason for crossing the state line armed. And then, because see, here's my thing. Had you stayed your punk ass home, then you could have hated Black Lives Matter from your couch. Like a lot of people do. I do it. You know? But him going out there and getting into this altercation and then them wanting to attach it to the riot and Black Lives Matter, my issue is he shouldn't have been there. But the reason why he fit in and police officers saw him walking with this gun and did not approach him, because I know if he was black or if he was Hispanic or if he was Asian, they would have asked him to verify that he could be carrying that gun open like that. And nobody said anything to him. So that's what lets me know. Plus, seeing how the judge is acting with the DA says a lot about, you know, where this is going to go. Because there's a whole lot of black people who went to court and they were crying from the time they was in the police car. You know, so a couple of crocodile tears, while you understand, and it didn't move me a bit. I waited for all of the little hosts to start talking crap about it. It was silly. Now, Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, RIP, that case still has an option. There is a chance for that to still go left, and that's because they can still declare a mistrial. And to be honest with you, they have all the everything that they need for it. You have officers who were attempting to assist a person who's not even, people keep saying this guy was a cop. No, he wasn't a cop. He was an investigator for the DA. That's why immediately when it happened, the DA immediately started doing things to protect them. So this shit is screwed up. How you going to prosecute them? How is the office that's prosecuting them? Their hands are just fucking dirty.
Yep.
Everything there is set up for a mistrial. And then they don't go to jail. That's how they get out. That's how they get home.
So this could be, well, I'll let you go on, brother. Go on. My bad.
Well, no, I mean, with that part, just for those two things. Now, on the other thing, I did want to touch on and kind of, I liked what you said earlier about how those, the brutality towards our women and how certain subjects last night, you know, to tie into that. You know, and this is just, and I'm going to put this just as my, this is my opinion. The comments that I heard last night were more deflective from what we were supposed to be trying to get at, which was black men and us. It's about accountability completely. This is what I was under the impression we were supposed to be reaching at. Because the other subjects, they, while they're valid subjects, they weren't, I don't blame the LGBTQ community or the black woman or the government and how they dealt with black families as everything that's wrong with me.
No, nor should
I can't put all of that in, into that, that basket. Certain shit, I have to be accountable for what I know that I need to work on. And that's what
and
I thought
that,
the conversation was going to be aimed at, not so much on the external issues that fuck us up. We know that damage is there, and our women are damaged, yes. And, yeah, there's a lot of women out there who want guys who have stuff. And, yes, there's a lot of guys out there who buy stuff that they don't even want because they want to pull women. All of that shit, yes. And yes, the government did all of this shit to fuck up the black family and all of this back to slavery when the white man wouldn't even talk to the man. That's when the breakdown really started. He dealt with the woman. He didn't even talk to the man about family shit. If he was going to sell your child, he told the mother first. He didn't even tell the man. So those breakdowns have been happening. We can't act like they exist. Here's the problem. The problem is that there's nothing. And I mean nothing that you can put, that you can have, you can't damage something. It's almost like what I heard last night for a second. Certain individuals on there, the way it came off was, we're okay. We're just trying to help others. Like, we're all right. Like, it's like a wipe off, and I'm thinking, no, there's no way we can be all right because we exist in this bullshit too.
Yeah, and complicit, and that's rather arrogant to have that. I'm afraid I agree with you because I got that kind of air as well. I felt that too, and that, you know, that arrogance thing, and we're not all right, and that's why that was the whole, we're not all right. We got to fucking fix ourselves, and that's why I said
right.
Nobody said anything about discipline.
Self-discipline.
In whatever form, in its purest form, discipline is first. Just like when we were talking last summer about the need, the desperate need for mental health awareness and fixing this issue with it that looms like a dark demon cloud over us. We ain't going nowhere until we fix that shit. And discipline is another thing.
Well, I did want to touch on something about the brutality with our women.
Yes,
because they are a high-value target to everything
target,
that wants to destroy us, you know? And but they're also a soft target, and that's within our own community. You know, when we talk about that brutality, yeah, it does happen from the system. And, yes, it does happen from dirty cops, and, yes, it does happen from, you know, other situations, but there's a lot that we self-inflict, and that's the mental illness that I want us to work on so that we get out of not doing that and treating each other that way. That it becomes to us mentally ill to treat each other bad or to see each other as less than or anything other than my brother or my sister.
Indeed. And that's...
And I'm tired of being disappointed because I hear a lot of things that get said and I hear a lot of people saying them. And I'm like, that's great. And all of that is right. It's not, I'm not going to knock what you're saying. But, you know, there's a part where you have to say, all right, okay, we got to do this. So what can I do to make that happen? How can I fix me to be better at that shit so that that way I can maybe give somebody else an idea how to get there? But we don't look at it that way. We actually get mad at each other over the silliest shit, and we'll hold on to that shit like it is a golden nugget.
Yeah, again, that's why I wanted to, that's why I told you last night that I wanted to piggyback on what was discussed last night, simply because of what I mentioned about the tribal spirit of competition that we seem to have, and then what you just described is just that. You know, we're pitted against each other. And we bought into this competition. You know, this nigga can't have, you know, I got to have, no, man. We got to share, man. It's the only way. It's the only way. We didn't need to be like this, man. We're
all damaged, though, bro. Why can't we accept that we are damaged? I mean, when did we become so egotistical that we can't say, hey, I got some issues right now?
That's what we were talking about, being self-aware, your sense of self-awareness, man, because that's why we're pointing all these things out. We're pointing all these flaws within ourselves as men, recognizing them, acknowledging the flaws, and willing to take the steps to fucking fix it for our sake. You know, for our women's sake, and like brother under 40 was mentioned last night about when he was talking about you know, the women's mindset and how, you know, we ain't never shit. They switch into a lot of women are going to be lesbians.
He ain't never met my mom. He can't speak for all women.
And being on the government's titty. That's
he can't speak for all women. You're talking about the women he met.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, but I wasn't going to interrupt the brother. I was letting him do his thing, and, you know.
No, I'm not. I'm not knocking his experience.
He can't, from a man's perspective, he can only say so much, just like me.
Right.
I can only say so much in that regard. But because women going to do what they're going to do on their terms.
Exactly. And they're not monolithic, and they don't all think alike. And now and then, look, they're not – here was what I was kind of like thinking last night. It doesn't matter. If you take a woman who's a struggling woman working a part-time job and a full-time job, two or three kids, versus a woman who's middle class – and, you know, has her, you know, married, maybe got a couple of kids or whatever, and then maybe take a rich woman, single, whatever, put 50 men in front of them. All three of them see those 50 men as different, and all three of them are going to look through those 50 men and see different options in some of the same guys.
They calculate.
They have the right to pick and choose, just like we have the right to pick and choose. And what I laugh at is, rarely do I see women going butt so hard to chase men because the men that want to be chased probably ain't worth being chased. And why would a woman waste her time?
And that's kind of what brother under 40 was relating to. And I get
so
that.
So the guy got to do more to get their attention. Okay, I can go with that. But then is that really what he wanted, or did he just want to win?
Yeah.
Is he going to be, because if this shit worked, if that game worked, there'd be more longer marriages. I know a lot of guys who spend a lot of money chasing women, and them women are smart enough to slow the fuck down and let them catch them. It's a few meals, a few movies, and some nails done, some other shit that they can get out of that, and they can keep moving. And this fool keep right on going, because it seems like a lot of times when they get what they say they want, they still out there looking.
Kidding. Yeah.
So it's not about the toys. It's the game. Let's just keep it real.
And again, since, wow, good segue, because the game is this culture war. And what we fail to understand as black men is how the rules of engagement in this war. We got no clue because we got our heads so stuck on
our
fucking ass.
Are we on the lack of culture war? Because we don't have a culture. We come from America, the descendants of slavery.
I don't want to go that deep. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what...
Our culture was stripped. How can they fight us on that? We don't have one. They took it. So how they gonna fight us on that?
I'm using this term as an example, because the real, like you said, the game, this game that we're pitted, that we're so engaged in, we're pitted against each other, and we're so arrogant to believe that we have any chance of winning anything. I mean, it's kind of delusional when you think about it. And we're talking about, like you said 5 minutes ago, women are not a monolith. And I said, they're gonna do whatever the fuck they're gonna do on their own terms. And earlier, I was speaking on how, you know, with the Me Too movement and women stepping up, you know, men, the powerful men are pushing down harder. You know, whatever you stand up, that's when they stomp down harder. And this brutality against women is a result of that. And again, I didn't use Sandra Bland. Didn't use the Me Too movement. I used it as a watershed or benchmark moment. I used the onset of the pandemic, because since then the numbers have been alarming, and I'm seeing it every day.
The numbers have been alarming since the 80s. Okay, Eleanor Bumpers got shot down by a cop with a shotgun over an eviction. She had a knife. He had a 12-gauge shotgun. Okay. Who was going to win that fight? All right? So they've been doing that. And this was a 67-year-old grandmother. Okay? So they've been doing it to us for a long time. And I'm sure there's an uptick of this, the brutality. But my thing with the Me Too, with this whole Me Too time frame here, you know, because I'm with Dave Chappelle on that. I had a Me Too headache as well. Because here's what the Me Too movement showed me. What the Me Too movement showed me was a whole lot of women back in the day kept their fucking mouths shut. Okay? Now, these were women who were able to get to those high, elevated jobs. And there weren't a lot of women of color up there at that time. So
But they let the other ones be the vanguard.
Well, see, here's what, but I'm like, what were they the vanguard of? Because a lot of them went into those jobs knowing that them guys was hounds. Look, most women have been fighting off dudes trying to fuck them since they was 12, okay? So they know what kind of guys work with them, but these guys were their bosses. So they had to be kind of nice because they got to feed their kids, they got to still pay their bills, all of this. And you let them go a little too far. All right, fast forward, okay, 25 years later. Now you want to hold them accountable because of how they touched your shoulder in the office that night when they asked you if you wanted to go out, and you told them, get the fuck out of my face, and they went on. Because the men need to have a Me Too movement on how nasty some of these women were when all we did was just ask you out. How many of us got a case?
I got my ass beat by the Long Beach police because my homeboy called a woman a bitch outside of a bar on the naval base, and we went to jail that night and got our ass beat by the LBPD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
do you have to? Can you go back in 10 years and hit her in the head with this shit? I mean, can you ruin her in 20 years with this?
Nope.
No.
See,
that's what my problem with the Me Too movement was. It showed me how bad some guys were at even asking a woman to hang out with them. Because a lot of these dudes got hit up because they just asked the woman to hang out and she didn't want to hang out. Andrew Cuomo, governor. I heard Chelsea Handler saying she wanted to give him some pussy. And he was getting turned down by everybody up there. It must hurt when you're the governor, but hey, take it on the chin. But who would have thought that shit? Right after the year you had where you literally became the president for a minute, everybody followed your little shit that you the one that set the protocols that went across the country. All these other punk-ass governors didn't move till you moved, Andrew. That's what lack of pussy do, though. I guess it keeps you focused. Me Too turned into a weapon that any woman who wants to piss off and hurt a guy that hurt their feelings years ago, now they can attach it to that and get all emotional when it didn't matter to them then and it really don't matter now. All of those women watched Bill Cosby get rich in the 80s. They didn't even start coming at him until the late 90s. Why?
It was later than that.
No, he had a couple of cases.
In the aughts.
No, he had a couple of cases in the 90s.
Rumors started surfacing.
No, he had a couple of cases in the 90s. That's the guy that the DA ran on locking him up over the shit. And that DA had actually, when he was just a prosecutor, he had he was the one who actually lost one of the cases that was against Bill Cosby. It pissed him off. He took it personal. So there had been women who had been trying to sue him on the bullshit, but they couldn't. They really had no real case. Obviously.
Well, you showed right on this movement being used as a weapon. But what I was saying was that these women that advanced and that are now reaping the benefits of this weapon were piggybacking on the actual vanguard of the movement. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying that they were the vanguard. I'm saying that those women were just simply piggybacking off of the ones that were doing all the fucking work.
And they're
reaping the benefits now. And so many people, like you said, like you asked me 2 minutes ago, you can't, I can't ruin this woman. I don't even remember that chick's name. I just remember she was a bitch, and next thing you know, Long Beach police beating her ass.
Yeah, but 20 years from now, it'll still be the same
story. I can't
remember
her,
and you won't be able to sell it.
But if I knew her name, right? So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. And mm-hmm. for all the unfairness that we both can legitimately say that we suffer from, I think it still is so unbalanced. And when I'm thinking, you hearken back to Eleanor Bumpers, and rest in peace, mother, sister Bumpers. I remember that, man. That fucked me up. Harken back to that. And I'm thinking about, all the women that have been, harassed and fucked around and gone missing. And I'm going to give a little information later about missing women and missing and exploited women, because there's so much of it that again, like I said in the opening, it's so overlooked and it's so not talked about. And I got to get this out because look, man, I got granddaughters, I got daughters in the military that are surrounded by men that don't want them there. And,
of course.
And has you know, so, but probably shouldn't discuss this, and I'm not going to go into detail, but one of my daughters had a friend that killed themselves last year because of the harassment and shit. There, I said it. This is why.
Harassment for being a woman or being black
from one of her superiors. Harassed so much that they went outside at lunch and told my daughter, "I'll see you after lunch," and that was the last word that my daughter heard. And next thing you know, she went out to the truck and we'll bring out a shotgun.
This is a woman who that was being leaned on by a superior?
Yes. Yes.
Woman of color?
Yeah.
See?
So,
yeah, that's an issue.
And it brings eerily similar to so many other. And so this is why, brother, I'm telling you, this is why I'm continuing to focus on this, because that's just one example. And you know, we can go on. We go on, and I will continue to go on, but in the second hour after the break, we're gonna focus a little more on the Ahmaud Arbery shit show in Georgia, and the question, and again, I got questions, man, as far as pursuing charges against the parents that enabled this little killer motherfucker to go up to Wisconsin and essentially execute two unarmed people. Again, unarmed people. So, with that said, you've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll further discuss the surge of brutality and violence in women, as well as the other topics that I mentioned a moment ago. Again, to reach us is 914-205-5538. Press 1, you'll be entered into the host queue. I'll open your mic, and you can say whatever you want. Just be respectful to the other guests and understand that we practice the Robert's Rule of Order. And just simply, when you're done. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. Simply, when you're done, just use your time. We'll be back in a moment.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that Black Lives Matter, which truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your book in history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. More white than they call me black. Realize we're all on the same side. They can't split us up and let us prosper off the divide. They can't fuck with us. Once we realize we're all on the same side. They can't split us up.
they know they'll sue their ass. They can tell who the fuck was. Unfortunately, black or brown skin is always meant for. They're profiling you, kid. They know you can't fight back, but we're about to.
Investigators say they are reviewing body camera and dash cam video accused of shooting. Police say that Keith Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something at Scott's feet. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in his own clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police video from the shooting, but the police chief said they were not doing that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real, but not here! Let's fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, your life matters! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, your life matters!
Peace. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Path to Party Radio Network. If you have questions, some perspective, any kind of statement, you can reach us at 914-205-5538. That's area code 914-205-5538. Just press 1, you'll be entered into the host queue. The second hour, we're going to focus mostly on the two trials in Wisconsin and, in Wisconsin and Georgia. And what I want, essentially what I want is answers, simply because I don't understand how I guess I do, but in reality, I don't understand how in 2021 we can still have video footage of an outright murder, and yet white people can still walk and not do any time. And again, I want to emphasize the contrast in these two trials. One contrast is that in one trial, a black man was killed. In another trial, two white men were killed. Three white men were shot in one trial. And one of those survivors, the survivor, was demonized on national television in a public trial. And all he did was fall victim to a heartless killer. And yet he's demonized. So that's what I mean by contrast in the trials, in the two trials. So I want to expound on that. Again, one black man killed in one trial, two white men, three white men shot in another trial. Henceforth, contrast. Henceforth, questions. And I think my question's already been answered in view of the history of the judicial system of justice, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. We call it just us. But again, I'm emphasizing the contrast in these two trials and how they're somewhat similar. Because if we all remember, you've been following this show, you know, we had 2 weeks, two shows, back-to-back shows, behind the Jacob Blake shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So all this was predicated behind the Jacob Blake shooting. Had this punk ass stayed his ass home, these two men would still be alive with their families. This young man had a number of choices to make before he pulled the trigger. He had a number of choices that he could have, he had a number of clear choices that he could have made, and these two men would still be alive. I want to know why there's such a contrast and how it's so eerily similar to the injustice that we've seen over the years when it comes to black and white in the justice system. Because we all know, none of us are naive. We all know, had Kyle Rittenhouse been Khalid Muhammad, the jurors would not have deliberated very long, especially if Khalid Muhammad had killed two white men. We know this. So I think I have a valid question, and I need answers. Help me out, because I need, again, it's eerily similar to past decisions in the courtroom that have not been so filled with justice, that have not provided closure. And again, we thought that a while ago, we thought that perhaps George Floyd would be the watershed moment to galvanize black people. And disappointingly, it seems to be not to be the case, because we're just as divided or more, even more divided as ever. We're divided on so many fronts and philosophy. We're divided on so many fronts, such as philosophies, religion, approach to the game, morals, ethics. Political affiliations, gang affiliations. We're so divided with, I mean, it's simple. I know it sounds stupid, but we're so divided even with the most simple, petty shit. And I mean, like, the shit that you buy, the shit that you consume, the things that you purchase to make a statement, like your clothes, your shoes, your car. All that stuff ties in together with this culture war that I'm talking about. And I'm not, again, I got questions, man, because I want to know why it's so easy for us. Why it's so easy for us to fall in line, and we go for it every single time they throw that fucking hook out there. We just eat it up, and we fall right back in line. So what the fuck is going to be the watershed moment next? Because I know in Chicago, recently we've had a dozen babies get shot. Babies get shot. But it's now passé. Again, a dozen babies shot in Chicago. And I remember in that movie, Boys in the Hood, when he said, I was watching the news this morning. Ice Cube said, I was watching the news this morning. Said, ain't had nothing about my brother on the news. Babies getting shot in Chicago, and I was watching the national news just to gauge, just to see. And I saw on one major network of the alphabet, saw one major network report a child that had been shot over the weekend, which, again, was a baby girl. Murdered by heartless killers. So I want to, again, emphasize how important it is for us to continue to focus on the surge of brutality and violence against women and the utter apathy within our community when it comes to violence against our own. I know I said in the second hour I wanted to further discuss the two trials, and again, if you've been following the show, you know that how adamant we are into following and describing to the people injustices and providing information, pertinent information to the people that you will never see in the mainstream mindfuck media. And like I said in the opening, that I wanted to really focus in the second hour on these two trials. However, I'd be remiss if I did not continue to focus on on the original topic, part two of the second installment of the continuing violence and brutality against women. And again, I've given many examples in these last two installments. Again, if you want to reach us, the number to call is 914-205-5538. That's area code 914-205-5538. Just press 1 and you'll be entered into the host queue. I'm really, really concerned because this really hits home for me, again, having daughters, active duty military, surrounded by men that have for many years been indoctrinated in these traditions and practices that are geared towards keeping women under the heels, keeping women in their place, so to speak. So, and that's one of my one of my biggest concerns. My largest concern is that of my granddaughters, who have to grow up with young men and women that are not raised with morals and ethics and shown the difference between right and wrong. Ooh, please excuse me. Those are my largest concerns because this next generation, I know they say that, you know, this generation is doomed. But I'm more concerned about the following generation. And I meaning my 2-year-old, my 2-month-old granddaughters, as well as my other grandchildren, their generation, who they have to grow up with, who are influenced by their peers. My concern is peers are being raised by who, how, with what ethics, with what morals, with what standards as how to treat each other, particularly girls. That's my biggest concern. And that's why we're discussing this tonight. And I want you to understand also, again, if you want to reach us, area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. To reach us, just press 1. You'll be entered into the host queue, and I will open up your mic. Just please be respectful and kind to the other guests and callers in discussing what's on the table tonight. That and I really, again, I want to emphasize how important it is for us to no longer overlook the attack, the utter bombardment on women, particularly women of color. Like Brother Kevin was saying earlier, you know, back when the slave ships went to Africa, they didn't speak with the man because the women were in charge. The women were the they didn't go to the men per se. And then in slavery, like Brother Kevin mentioned, when they took your baby, they didn't tell the man shit. Yeah, it might have been his baby, but that's their mama's baby. And they told Mammy that her baby was being sold like a litter of puppies. So that's what we're discussing tonight. All those things with the attack on women, with the, seems like an onslaught recently. And our apathy towards the brutality against women and how acceptable it is, even amongst women. In the workplace, in the home, in the military, on the street. You got social media with all these different video sites where you can just click and watch a video of two women beating the shit out of each other in the parking lot. And 20 people with their phones out making a fucking video laughing. That's where we're at now. Yeah, that's where we're at now. So you can do that. And it's like, no big deal. See it every day. Normalized. It's so goddamn normal now. It's so normal that a woman on a Philadelphia subway train can be accosted, can be fondled, accosted, and eventually raped in front of 100 people over a period of 40 minutes. And nobody says thing. No one intervened. The police were not called for a substantial amount of time. And police weren't, not to mention, police weren't called until after the fact. And no one did a damn thing. They watched this woman get fondled, accosted, beaten and raped, sexually assaulted, whatever you want to call it, penetrated on a train car, and nobody does shit. Guarantee you, if I'd been on that train, that shit would not have happened. I promise you. So that's why I'm talking about this, because it seems to be so normalized, this violence, brutality against women, so fucking normalized now that we can just pass it off as she had it coming. But she was dressed a certain way. She was provoking him. There's something really wrong. Whereas in society, we can normalize this behavior. There's really something wrong in our society where we can overlook utter brutality against women and babies and normalize it. We can't even find the courage to fucking stand up and say, hey, I'm recording, or do something. In the face of something like that, how can you, as a man, as a human being, watch someone be brutalized like that? Yet you sending money. I won't go there. If you're that kind of person that would just sit there and not do anything and then post a video on Instagram and Facebook of a woman getting raped, then I'm talking to your ass. We don't understand the pressures, the environment, like we were discussing last night on Brother Melvin's show last night. We were discussing how we're such a part of the of this environment, this atmosphere that condones this behavior, that condones underage pedophilia. There, I said it. Yep. In our community, it's okay to lay up with a 15-year-old. I said it. There's too many niggas that do this, and they perpetuate the stereotypes, that perpetuate these traditions and practices that are condoned in our society. I mean, damn if you're going to be laying your ass, your shriveled up ass dick with my granddaughter, I kill you. That goes for all y'all that don't understand how important it is to change this atmosphere. And I don't think it's hopeless. I just think it's going to take some subtraction. It's going to take a helicopter's flying around. They're looking for somebody. They got the ghetto bird out here. They're looking for somebody. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but they certainly out there looking for somebody because they're circling. I see the bright light. Some things change. What they say is more things change, more things stay the same. Things are changing in my neighborhood. But, again, I digress. We cannot continue to perpetuate these stereotypes, these practices, these traditions that, you know, where a pimp is a fucking hero, a pimp is a fucking hero, a pimp is a role model. No, a pimp is a fucking creep. A pimp is a fucking destroyer. A pimp is a fucking pedophile, rapist, killer. Not a hero. Not a fucking role model. And I'm using the word pimp in its purest form. What a pimp is. And use it in an anagram. Put it in my motherfucking pocket. That's what a pimp says. Remember in the last installment, I indicated to you how blasé and how passé we are in this regard. When I use the term bitch slap, that's from a pimp. But it's okay to bitch slap somebody. Apparently, it's okay to be. Thank you, brother. I'll call you back after the show. Thank you so much. I'm gonna take a short break. Again, I was using that example, and I'm going back to 2 weeks ago in the first installment of this particular issue, and using the term bitch slap as an analogy to how it's been normalized. The brutalization of women has been normalized to such a degree where it's used commonly in an everyday language. That said, we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. The number to reach us is area code 914-205-5538. After this break, welcome all callers, and we can further discuss what's really going on, because I got questions and I definitely need answers. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be right back.
If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you ask to make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on the because of different reasons that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to feel after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even if you're living in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Calling the pitch. mother call a girl a bitch or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cut off shorts on right cause it was crazy. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes.
Who you crawling with, bitch?
U-N-I-G-Y. It take it out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again, I'll put your ass in handcuffs. I guess I felt so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. This is my notice of the duel, I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore, that's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you ain't
who you calling a bitch?
You and I see why. Now that you saw a batchy video, I saw you wildin', acting like a fool. I peeped you out the window, jumping girls after school. But where did all of this come from? A minute ago, you wasn't heard, and nobody ever heard of you. Now you a wannabe. You barely know your ABCs. Please, there's plenty of people out there with triggers ready to pull it. Why you trying to jump in front of the bullet, young lady? And real bad girls are the silent type.
Yeah.
Ain't none of this worth getting your face like, cause that's what happened to your homegirl, right? She got to wear that for life. Who you calling a bitch?
Peace and welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Feather Party Radio Network. Hopefully we can continue to discuss this. I'm having some technical issues here. However, bear with me 1 minute here and I think I can get this squared away. Again, you've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Feather Party Radio Network. Tonight we've been continuing our discussion on the focus on the surge of brutality and violence on women in our community, the country, as well as throughout the world landscape. And before we went on break, I gave you a brutal example of another fresh example of brutality against women in our community and in our beloved country. Unfortunately, there's been many more examples that in the last 30 minutes of the show I'm going to try to touch on, but I really want to continue to focus on these two trials. And again, the number to reach us is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. If you want to join us in our party, in all of our efforts, you can reach us online at thepanthaparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepanthaparty1966@gmail.com. Leave your name, a contact number, and someone will get back to you expediently, I assure you. Once again, that's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Leave your contact number and your name, and someone will get back to you expediently, I promise you. Again, you're listening to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Empowerment Zone. You are now in the zone, and tonight we are continuing to focus on the surge of brutality and violence on women in our community, as well as touching on, again, in the last 30 minutes of the show, we're going to continue to touch on the two trials in Georgia and Wisconsin and the contrast there within between the two trials. And what I mean by contrast, again, if you've been listening to the show and if you're just tuning in, I will remind you that what I mean by contrast is how the facts show in these two cases, yes, clearly a black man was killed. Ahmaud Arbery, rest in peace, young brother, was killed brutally, was essentially hunted and shot down like a wild animal. And then you have the trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where two white men were killed. Three white men were shot by Kyle Rittenhouse. And there seems to be a huge double standard. And I'm really concerned about the judge and his constructions and the whole method of juror selection with the lottery and the laws applied within the state of Wisconsin. And again, the method of juror choosing. I watched something that I had never seen before, and I've been watching trials and politics for 50 years, and I'd never seen a defendant on trial handpick from a box his jury. Never seen that before. Again, I've been watching this stuff for a long time, and I've never seen that before. So the question still stands, or rather the context is still there. What is the difference, and how are these eerily similar, these two trials eerily similar? Again, Kyle Rittenhouse case is predicated on the Jacob Blake shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The Ahmaud Arbery trial is predicated on three men hunting a young black man. So there is a contrast there, but there's some similarities in the adjudication. What I mean by the similarities, I mean in the adjudication of these four white men in these two trials. Eerily similar to previous cases that we've seen where no justice was served. And I'm afraid that in one of these trials, both of these trials could potentially go left. And in my experience, I've seen what should be the right outcome go left. And again, no justice is served. So stand by. Juries in deliberation in Wisconsin. Again, I want to emphasize, had Kyle Rittenhouse been Khalid Rashid Muhammad, I believe the jury would have come back before sundown. I really do. But in this particular case, I haven't seen any breaking news, so they're still in deliberation, excuse me. They're still in deliberation, and we shall see. So, again, stand by. As far as the Ahmaud Arbery trial, I just don't see any kind of closure, because even with the judge's summation, with the description from the defense attorney, the judge's summation as the defense attorney's statements being reprehensible, which I agree wholeheartedly, I still don't see where there'll be any kind of full closure or justice served there. We'll just continue to hold our breath. We'll just continue to hold our collective breath on this particular case, because, again, we've seen in various cases in the history of justice going left and not right. How about that? The other thing I wanted to touch on briefly, we have about 20 minutes remaining in the show, and if you want to reach out to us, the number to call is 914-205-5538. That's area code 914-205-5538 is the number to reach us. Just press 1. You'll be entered into the host queue. The other thing that I wanted to touch on ever so briefly is additional charges in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. And what I mean by that, y'all, is how, again, I've been watching this stuff for years, and I know somewhat know judicial process, and I did good government. I learned good government in school and all that. So I understand that there will be additional civil suits, particularly from the victims or representatives of the victims. The three victims in Wisconsin, there will be additional civil suits. But what I'm wondering is, will the Illinois Attorney General pursue charges against the Kyle Rittenhouse parents? And the reason why I'm asking that simply is because, by all accounts, the parents enabled this kid. No matter what was said or done prior to them leaving their home in Itasca, Illinois, the fact remains that three people were shot, two people are no longer here, and it's because of them enabling this young man, providing him with illegal ammunition, providing him with a legal firearm, only legal, he put this in parentheses, legal in the sense that they could own that as adults and registered firearm owners with a FOID card, this assault rifle, this AR-15, only them were authorized to handle this weapon. And yet they enabled this young man. They drove him across state lines. And now three people are shot, two people are dead, and we're in the thrust of a shit show on national television that has further divided our society, and that is further heightened the culture war. And again, the judge in this case is suspect. because of his actions and not allowing either the prosecution or the defense to present questionnaires to the jurors, to the potential jurors. And again, this is why I'm questioning the validity of this particular jury in Wisconsin because of that fact that they were not, that neither side was allowed questionnaire, which is typical in the process of trying a criminal case. It's typical to allow the prosecution as well as the defense questionnaires to the potential jurors. This particular judge did not allow either side to present a questionnaire, which is suspect, because now the integrity of the integrity of this jury is in question. No matter what evidence they were presented, their integrity is in question simply because they were not thoroughly interviewed, essentially, because the judge would not allow either side, the prosecution or the defense, questionnaires to the juror, to the potential jurors, which is typical, which is so typical. And this is unprecedented that this judge would not allow these questionnaires for either side. So again, this judge is suspect. And again, we're holding our breath with the outcome. And my guess is, this young man will not serve as much time as he could possibly get, and he certainly will not get as much time as Khalid Rahim Muhammad. That's all I'm saying. So if you have any perspective on this, please let me understand. Help me out, because this is my estimation, and I've seen this in the history, and it's probably going to go left, or it's not going to go as we expect, or at least as far as I'm concerned, it's not going to go. I fully expect this to be an unsatisfied decision, and what I mean by that is, I mean, aside from the civil suits that are destined to come, I'm sure there'll be a litany of civil suits from the representatives of the families of the victims. But I'm just saying how I just see Kyle Rittenhouse not getting hardly any time, or maybe even probation. And he killed two people. But because he's a minor, it again just leads to the question of, will the Illinois Attorney General pursue charges against the parents for enabling this kid? No matter what happened before they left their crib in Itasca, Illinois, whatever propaganda he was allowed to listen to, whatever philosophy his household adheres to, none of that really matters. Really doesn't. Doesn't matter if they were Trumpsters. Doesn't matter if they had whatever political affiliation. None of that really matters, because in the scheme of things, two people are dead. And someone has to be held accountable. And I just don't see that happening. Not to a large degree. not in the sense of fairness, not in the sense of justice. I just don't see it happening. And I consider myself a fucking dreamer. I'm not hopeless. I got hope. I know hope is a rational thought, but I still got hope and faith that somehow justice will be served at some point and everybody will be able to live in a just society. But I'm a realist too. I live in the real world. And I know that justice can't be served at all times, that justice is blind, as they say, which is bullshit. But in these two particular cases, you cannot discount the history, you cannot discount the facts, and you most definitely cannot discount any notion white men are guilty of murder. With that said, I want to thank my guests that called tonight. Thank everybody that's listening online, all my servers, all the drivers, all my friends that are on the road now. I hear you, brother. I know you're out there. Please be safe. Be ultra safe. Know that you got a target on your back. Be careful. Keep your eyes and ears peeled at all times out there on the road. DJ, I know you're listening, brother. Big ups to you, man. Peace. Be careful out there on the left coast. I know it's wild and crazy out there, man. Just be careful out there on the road, brother. Peace to you and your family. I'd be remiss if I didn't reflect on my brother Carl Phillips, who passed away last night. Brother fell victim to cancer. And I've known this brother for close to 20 years and never had an unkind word to say to anyone that I know of. He was always very, he was a straight up gentleman. This brother was a legendary stepper. And if you know Chicago, you know we step here. You know, we do, we have steppers conventions and we step, we dance. We got skills on the dance floor. We know how to cut a rug here. So my brother was a legendary stepper, and he left quite a legacy for all of us. And again, this brother was so kind and so peaceful, never had a harsh word to say about or to anyone. And the last words I heard from this brother's mouth to me was, "I love you, brother." And that was after something he did for me, not because I did something for him, because he did something for me. And he told me he loved me. So, Carl, I know you're here, man, and I love you. We miss you, brother. I miss you terribly. Rest in peace, Carl Phillips, Big Slim. Also, I want to thank Panther Party Radio Network for allowing me to express my opinion and my perspective. All power to the people. Understand that here in the empowerment zone, we act on the premise of financial responsibility, community building, activism, proactiveness, and preparedness, with an emphasis on preparedness and being ready, staying safe, knowing what's expecting the curveball, knowing what's around the corner, looking ahead, having tunnel vision, being kind to one another. Look out for your seniors. Understand that your family is your foundation. And at the end of the day, you got nothing else. Your family. Understand that. Take care of your people. Call your people. Let them know that you're thinking about them. And again, be kind to one another because we need each other. Like Brother Melvin says, we need each other. We have to start disciplining ourselves and come together. Start thinking about each other, being kind, watching out. Go to bat for somebody. Help somebody. Do a kind gesture. Just do something to create beauty. Make somebody, to spark somebody's day. Just do something nice. Call your father. Call your uncle. Call your grandmother. Let them know that you're thinking about them. Don't hold grudges. And don't fall into this trap that we don't need each other. We desperately need each other. The only way we're going to get above ground. The only way we're going to stay above ground. And flourish, we got to come together, y'all. And it just takes two. Think about that. It just takes two. Two people come together. Don't matter. Black, white, yellow, pink, don't matter. Just two people come together. Spread some knowledge. Spread some love. Be kind. And then two more people. Next thing you know, you ain't gonna know what hit us. So just be kind to somebody tomorrow. When you think about it, even if you don't fucking feel like it, do it. If you're compelled to do something, just do it. You'll feel good. You'll feel better. You'll sleep better. I promise you. Be kind. Understand here in the empowerment zone, we spread love. We love everybody. And we want all of us to come together. Our purpose is rooted in the people. That's us. We can do this. I believe we're going to get it together. I know we're going to get it together. May not even be this generation, but I know my grandkids, our grandchildren, our sons and daughters, if we show them the proper, we give them the guidelines, we give them the materials, we give them the knowledge, we show them discipline, we show them respect, we instill in them morals and ethics, we can win. We can win in this game. In this brutal game. Again, you've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. Again, thank you all for joining us. Everybody listening online, everybody listening on the road, future broadcasts. Thank you ever so much. We'll see you next time. Probably won't be available next Tuesday due to my goofy work schedule. However, we will be we will have another installment in the coming weeks. Please stay tuned to the Panther Party Radio Networks for the big picture on Mondays with Brother Melvin Seary. With Brother Melvin Seary Jr., my bad, brother. And any other shows on the network, please stay tuned so you can stay informed, so you can stay duly informed. All power to the people.
Take you eyes to make a pair.
Last song is dedicated to the memory of Big Slim, Carl Phillips. Miss you so much. Love you, brother. Rest in peace.
Yeah. I reminisce for a spell, or shall I say think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October, a toast, but my granddaddy came sober. Count all the fingers and the toes, now I suppose you hope the little black boy grows. 18 years younger than my mama, but I really got beaten to the girl of trauma. In single parenthood, there I stood. By the time she was 21, had another one. This one's a girl, let's name her Pam. Same father as the first, but you don't give a damn. Irresponsible, plain not thinking. Papa said chill, but the brother keep winking. Silly won't down, you would tear out your hide. On your side while the baby make a slide. But mama got wise to the game. The youngest of five kids, hun, here it is. After 10 years without no spouse, mama's getting married in the house. Listen, positive over negative, for the woman a master. Mother queen's rising a chapter. Deja vu, tell you what I'm gonna do when they reminisce over you, my God. When I take back, I recall a man off the family tree. My right hand, Papa Doc, I see. Took me from a boy to a man, so I always had a father. When my biological didn't bother taking care of this, so who am I to bicker? Not a bad ticker, but I'm clocking Pop's liver. But you can never say that as life is through. Five kids at 21, believe he got a right to. Here we go while I check the scene with the Portuguese lover at the age of 14. The same age, front page, no fuss. But I bet you all you know they live longer than us. Never been seen now. That's where you're wrong. But give the man a taste and he's gone. Nodding off sleep to a jazz tune. I can hear his head banging on the wall in the next room. I get the pillow and hope I don't wake him. For this man the guts, hear it all in verbatim. Telling me how to raise my boy unless he's taking over. I said, Pop, maybe when you're older. We laughed all night about the hookers at the party. My old man standing yelling, good God almighty. Use your condom, take sips of the brew. When they reminisce over you, for real.
For real, baby.
I reminisce so you never forget this. The days are way back, so many bear witness the fitness. Take the first letter out of each word in this joint. Listen close as I prove my point. T to the R-O-Y, how did you and I meet in front of Big Lou fighting in the street? But only you saw what took many time to see. I dedicate this to you for believing in me. Rain or shine, yes, in any weather. My grandma Pam holds the family together. My Uncle Doc's the greatest, better get the latest. If we're talking about a car, Uncle Sterling got the latest. I strive to be live cause I got no choice and run my own business like my aunt Joyce. So Pete Rock hit me, enough respect due. When they reminisce over you, listen.